Hey guys, on this episode of EdTech, we'll be talking with Scott Tyner, Ernie Bailey, and Rob Raspberry. And we'll be talking about relationship management, outsourcing IT, and value-added resellers. All this and more on EdTech.
The network for the AV industry.
What are you listening to?
This
is AV.
This is AV Nation.
This is AV Nation.
This is EdTech, episode 69, Relationship Management.
Support for AV Nation is brought to you by Harman International.
This is EdTech, the monthly higher ed tech podcast. I'm your host, Bill O'Donnell. This month, I'm joined by Ernie Bailey.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm good, sir. Mr. Rob Raspberry.
Happy holidays.
Indeed. And Mr. Scott Tyner, how are you, sir?
Hey, Bill, I'm doing great.
Good. So, first and foremost, we're going to get into this. It's part of the holiday season. Most of us are going to be enjoying the frosty, frigid weather and more than likely getting prepped for wonderful winter projects. So, I'll actually figure out to do a quick round robin with everyone as to it's always kind of fun to hear the war stories on this one. Me, I get to go into the belly of the beast. And we're going to be working on our art department building, which is going to be real fun because it's open ceiling. And from an integration point of view, if you've ever done those, it's concrete ceiling, pole mounting, and oh yeah, Rob's already nodding his head. Yeah, lots of crisscrossed Kindorf, also known as Unistrut for everyone else.
Yeah. I envy you not.
Yeah, well, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, but cable paths are simple.
Yeah, they are.
All white cable, right?
Yeah. In this case, thank goodness, there's already been conduit run. So that's already set and done. Now it's just a matter of remounting Unistrut and then, you know, push. So, as I say, Mr. Tyner, we'll start off with you first. Where are some of your holiday install plans, or are you actually keeping it light?
So we are actually very fortunate in that the college closes down completely from a couple of days before the Christmas until a couple of days after New Year's, and we close down as well. We don't come into work. We are trying out a new thing this year where we are building our racks. Completely in our shop, testing them out in our shop, mm-hmm. and literally in an afternoon when the classes are done, we roll the rack in. Everything's already Cat 5, so we just plug stuff in, test it out, and we're done. So it's an experiment we're doing for the first time this year, and hopefully getting us away from that, you know, we got 1 week. We need to work 14 hours a day for the whole week. So we'll see how it goes.
Well, cool. I mean, the big question I would have for you, and this is always the pick your cable flavor here and everything. Are you guys doing AV, still doing HD based T, or God help me if you guys are doing the Extron mini twisted pairs?
Yeah, I was going to joke around and say, no, we're still pulling the 5.5 cable BNCs.
Oh.
We moved to Cat 5. We're not doing any AV over IP. It's all Cat 5, so a lot of it is the Crestron DM stuff or HD based T to our projectors.
All right. Very good. Mr. Bailey, how about yourself?
Well, to start out with where you just finished with Scott, we're kind of doing a hybrid of the AV over IP and HD based T, once again with the Crestron stuff. We're kind of moving from one to the other as we can. But our big projects over this winter break are replacing several lecture hall projectors with lasers. Two of the lecture halls are rear projection spaces. We are, with the new lenses that we can get and the size of our space, we're disassembling the mirrors. So we're going to be doing direct rear projection. See how bad our hotspot ends up being. I think it's going to be okay.
Now, Ernie, quick thing. with the lenses and the mirrors, just out of curiosity, this is just my own morbid one. How many mirrors did you guys have for the rear projection space?
I only have two rear projection spaces right now. They're each single mirror.
Oh, all right. Well, that's not too bad.
They were custom designed for the space. Worked with RP Visuals out of California, Randy Pagnon. Mm-hmm. And they took real good care of us. We've changed projectors once in those rooms, and they just replaced the saddle that the projector fits in, as they call it. And that was an experience changing that out. We had an integrator do it. The first one took a day and a half. The second one took 45 minutes.
Oh, that's not too bad.
Well, the pieces are a 16th of an inch difference in length that go together to make the saddle. So you have to get the right one in the right place. Those are all the same. Just hand me one. No, they're not all the same. The holes are a little bit different. The lengths are just slightly off, so they won't fit. But like I said, this time we're going to be replacing or removing completely the mirrors and the tinker toys that hold them together. Doing that and some software upgrades in the same lecture halls at the same time, both audio and transport. But I think that's going to be enough to keep us busy. We're doing three lecture halls, one dual projector, straight, direct projection, and then the two rear projection rooms.
So this is actually something, Ernie, I do have a question for you because you deal with lecture halls as much as all of us. In our case, we had a auditorium that actually was left off of a renovation. So is the, we'll go and fix that and go take care of it, phase two option. And we recently had phone calls because it finally got cold up here. And they kept saying, the projector keeps shutting off. And the folks were like, the lamp may be overheated or something. And I said, no, it's a laser. That's a laser projector in that room. The only reason it's overheating is because the entire projector is overheating. So we go walking in at the top or the top of the at the top of the classroom. And it turns out there was only one thermostat in the room. Would you like to guess where it was?
Not by the projector.
No, not even close. At the bottom of the at the bottom of the bowl, and it was reading a temperature of 64. I went, we went upstairs. We went up to the top. It's ranging at least somewhere in the mid 90s. So it's going to be one of those fun ones where we're going to talk this over with the HVAC folks, and maybe having a secondary sensor, just an idea. Yeah. But
our lecture hall projectors are all in environmentally controlled spaces. Some sort of projection room, whether it's front or rear, with its own thermostat.
Yeah, if we were a bit smarter, we'd probably do that. Currently, we're SMRT smart, so I'll just leave it to that. Mr. Raspberry, what fun projects await you?
I hate to be a Debbie Downer, but not a whole lot happening during the break for once. We're replacing smaller classrooms with, larger displays. That's been an initiative we've been starting. And obviously, believe it or not, we're still replacing old bulb projectors with laser projectors. But there really isn't anything on a large scale that we're doing during this break. And similar to Scott, there is a point where we shut down for a week. And usually, obviously, for those hard workers out there like myself, that is the perfect time to do any maintenance or any major projects, which I have done over the last few years. But thankfully, we don't have anything going on this year. So maybe I'll have an actual vacation. I don't know. But that's scary. I unfortunately don't have any big projects going on during this break.
Well, that's fine. Once again, it's one of those in days of yore, as I say, Rob, if anything, I actually would do work at Novartis. And being that they're based their calendar more on the Swiss European style things, they'd go, we're going to be closed for 2 weeks. And I'd go, cool. And then all of a sudden it would dawn on me, I have 2 weeks to get like 10 rooms done. And it was, once again, it was doing the 14-hour days. We'll get all this done. now, you know, much like you guys, we're closed the week of Christmas to New Year's. And yeah, it's one of those ones where I can happily like just kind of kick back and go and say, ah, yeah. And that's where I look back and go and say, right now, there are probably at least a dozen techs in New York and San Francisco that are just going, oh, I hate this season. But anyways, so moving on from that, we're going to be taking a look at two articles today. One of them being from, let's see here, where'd it go? From mytechdecisions.com, in which it talks about the hard lessons from IT outsourcing. And, you know, it was to say, once again, in the corporate world, outsourcing some of these things, outsourcing IT is, you know, at times fairly common. It's, there's usually a churn of sorts in which it goes, oh, we'll go outside, we'll go to an outside vendor. Oh, you know what, we'll actually do stuff internal again. And then they'll find another company that says they can do it, you know, at a negotiated price. But I think there are components to this that folks always tend to kind of overlook, in which it's not just cost, it's also the actual quality of the service that comes up from this and everything. And Ernie, I know you've, as I say, you're kind of looking at this going, oh, yes, the quality of service. Yeah. So if you wouldn't mind just kind of involving us on
that. That's a big part. And sometimes, it's, you know, you need boots on the ground where you are, whether it's general IT or especially in the classroom. Mm-hmm. You know, there have been talk about outsourcing both of those here. Our university system office, you know, we're a multi-campus university. The system office is not far from our main campus. Mm-hmm. And they outsourced, even, you know, we discussed this a little while ago, to a local company, mm-hmm. to take over all their IT support. Mm-hmm. Well, they were not getting much on-site, or almost no on-site support, minimal mm-hmm. Off-site support. You know, they would, the company that did it basically thought their job was to,
like, you know, the paycheck?
Make sure the current, software was on all the servers, security software, you know, make sure we don't get viruses or, you know, any kind of ransomware or anything like that. And that was what they thought their entire job was. Well, it was, you know, determined real quick. They weren't getting support they needed, and their systems were failing. Mm-hmm. Servers were going down. Network switches were failing. So the system office has asked our campus IT to take over mm-hmm. your support. And I mean, we're doing it. We're not far away. It's easy to do. Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things from and you're right, Ernie, it's the boots on the ground. It's the actual customer service on these things.
Right.
And it's, you know, case in point is this, there's been a couple of county colleges, by us that they outsourced their IT support. And we've tried to do distance lecture, you know, distance learning courses with them. And at most, all of a sudden, we will have a fully fledged room in which, you know, the lecturer will have a confidence monitor. They'll have their class with them in the room. They'll have the mics. They'll have, you know, all the professional settings set up and everything. And then we'll look at the far side. And it's very obvious that someone put a laptop on the table, on the stage, in the auditorium, and went, here you go, which, you know, can turn over very quickly. And folks, and, you know, students will kind of look and go and say, yeah, I don't know, I'm just a warm body in the room. And that doesn't do anyone any good.
Yeah. Now, we do have another university here in Arkansas that decided to outsource their video conferencing, and we took it. you know, well, we have all the video conferencing bridges and all that we need, and they're running more evening classes than we do. Mm-hmm. So we definitely have the bridge space, but our space has to be manned 24/7 because we also do telemedicine, and you know, we have a stroke service, mm-hmm. And a high risk pregnancy service that our video conferencing handles the tech for. So they've got people on site watching the bridges and all that, waiting for something to come up. So it was not a bad deal. You know, we have a little bit of income from this other university coming in our video conferencing group because they had time available. The other group didn't really have the in-house expertise to run the distance education program.
It's one of those things where you look at and just go, is what you're saving really worth saving? Yeah. As I say, there's another gist from the musical Pippin, but I'm going to leave that one be. Scott probably knows which one I'm talking about. Mr. Tyner, your thoughts?
Yeah, we've actually, at Bates, we've never looked at outsourcing our IT. We do outsource all of our event staging. We don't do that in-house anymore. And I think it comes down to exactly what you both have just talked about, which is what do you place the most value on? What are you going to get long-term value for? And is the money you're saving worth it? And, you know, for example, we looked at our event support and there's no long-term value to my staff staffing events or putting up events. That it's a one-time thing. And when it's over, it's over. That's different than installing a classroom. So we do it in that case. And I think that, anytime you do something like this, it's just about looking at what are you trying to get out of it? You know, is the money you're going to save worth it? And in many cases, really taking a very hard look at what you're getting promised and whether or not it's even realistic what somebody's being promised, right? If you've got, you know, people that are 3 or 4 hours away, it's going to take them a day to get to your campus if there's a problem.
Yeah, or my other personal favorite now, as I say, now I'm sure all of us have ticketing systems and everything, but that's not the end all. That is the, get it up, get us aware of it and everything. However, it's not the end all. You know, in our case, you know, I'm sure Ernie has a similar setup in which we do have a help desk that is actually actively manned by folks and everything. If you call us, we will actually go and remote into the panel in real time and see what's going on and everything. But if there's, you know, the room's on fire, yes, someone will come down. We try to keep that to a minimal as much as humanly possible. But, you know, as I say, you and I all well know there are some faculty who are, for lack of better terms, very seasoned. And, you know, they have their routines. And there's, you know, I'm trying to remember the fun terminology of this one of, well, it's Crazy Aunt Irma. You try to correct Crazy Aunt Irma and, you know, Crazy Aunt Irma is always going to pluck the feathers in the couch or on the couch. Eventually you find a new couch or B, you end up building a fence around Aunt Irma. We're trying to do more of the here. We're going to move Irma to a new couch. But, that being said, like I said, when you outsource certain things, a ticketing system is, well, here you go. Oh, just put in a trouble ticket and we'll take care of it. Well, once again, for us, I think it's more of the ticketing system helps us more. It's not really the end all or the, you know, here you go. I think it's more of the, this is a problem. You can take a look at it through your dashboard or through, you know, your online ticketing system and actually check and see, is this room having a problem or is this more of an issue with users?
That's how we pretty much use our ticketing system. Tickets are generally generated after a problem solved. Yes. You know, the general IT group here on campus, when something happens, they create a ticket in the text, work from the ticket. Mm-hmm. We do it the opposite way in classroom support because a 50-minute long class, you know, if you're spending 5 minutes writing the ticket after you get a call that happened 3 minutes into the class, you know, 20% of the class is gone before you get to the room.
Yeah, you're going to have faculty who go and say, well, could you just find me a different room? And a lot of times we tend to, we'll have someone back at the desk and I'll call and ask and check ahead of time and check while I'm heading over there because it's the plan B option. Is it the most ideal? No, but at the same time, we don't want to cause work stoppage or we don't want to cause our faculty to go and say, oh, this stuff never works.
Yeah.
It's presenting them with a solution. Because no one ever likes to get told, well, the room's broken. Well, what can you do about it? I don't know. The room's broken. You know, as I say, unless your budget is absolutely shot, you always try to come up with a plan B.
Right.
Mr. Raspberry.
Really don't have too much really to add to that. I think, you know, in general, I haven't dealt with any type of outsourcing. Oh, I mean, fine. I know some institutions that have outsourced maintenance of their classrooms to an outside firm. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason for them, I guess in that particular situation, it worked great. Mm-hmm. But for us, I don't see any necessity to do that. We know the space is inside out. We are doing it as cost efficiently as possible. You know,
now, I will say this, Rob, there is probably like a little, like we do it, we don't admit to it technically. There is a little bit of outsourcing in this regard of that for us, we tend to have a number of student workers and the student workers are usually the first ones in there. Right. Now it depends on the quality of the student and everything. But every now and then our IT folks, our CIO has been, oh, we'll just put a student worker on it. And I'm going, okay, have they gone through our training? Because otherwise they're just going to look at it and here you go.
Well, I mean, but there is some value to that because if you have enough troubleshooting issues in enough classrooms mm-hmm. and you send a student worker out who can at least take a look and say, oh, the projector's flickering or something like that, and there's a way that, you know, they can handle very low-end issues, that's mm-hmm. actually a good thing. Is that really outsourcing? Because like with us, we have a number of student workers and typically they go on to be part-timers and become full-timers. So in a way, it's sort of a farm system rather than outsourcing, I would say. So
fair enough.
I guess when we say outsourcing, I guess we mean a true outside organization.
Dude, is this a labor and duty outsourcing?
Right.
Here, you take care of this. Why? Because I'm older and I'm older and I have more seniority than you. Go. now, the last little bit here, and this will be the last article, comes to us from Rave Pubs. It's through our own Mr. Scott Tyner of Integrators or VARs, also known as Value-Added Resellers. Now, Mr. Tyner, would you like to break this down for, you know, would you like to dumb it down for your host for a minute on this one?
Yeah, sure. I'm actually on a bit of a rant about these things lately. so as I say in this article, my role over the years has gotten much more and much more into IT, and we've been meeting with some VARs lately who want to sell us equipment, but they want to add some value to it. Mm-hmm. And so I said in there, for example, they'll ship us computers that are already imaged that have a spreadsheet of all the serial numbers and MAC addresses that we need, et cetera. We can just import it. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, some minimal amount per machine to do that. That provides real value to us. It's mm-hmm. stuff that we don't have to do and we won't make mistakes on. And I kind of compare that to, I don't see that, and I'd be curious to know if any of you do, I don't see that kind of value added from in the AV industry. What I typically see is an integrator's kind of like, if you're going to buy our stuff, you're also buying our services and you're going to pay whatever we tell you to pay for those services. And as I see what some of these value added resellers on the IT side are doing, I wonder if they're going to start moving into the AV world and starting to do some of this stuff for the AV world. You know, give us your programming for X certain system and X certain touch panel, and you'll get it shipped right to you, programming loaded, mm-hmm. Your serial numbers are already, or any other just small value that they can add. Because so many of us are doing our own installs now. It's kind of this idea of where can you find a place to do business? And the kick that I'm on right now is going back to this AV as a service thing, where what I keep hearing is people talking about how companies need to do this and it's the only way they're going to survive. And I keep saying, yeah, but what's in it for me? And so here there's something in it for me.
Yes. Now I will say this, like this is just a thing that we've done when it comes to, you know, when we do a large scale renovation, you know, say like 15 or 20 rooms or something like that. You know, it's one of those ones where you look and you go and say, yeah, okay, we're going to, you know, obviously contract this out. However, in our case, we almost actually force the value added. It's not really value added then if we force it into the contract because we specifically tell them you have to, before the stuff arrives on site, you have to give us the MAC addresses and serial numbers of all the devices. You have to give it to us on an Excel sheet. For us, it's because we're going to take those serial numbers and we're going to say, you know, put them into the Crestron A plus rewards point system and everything. And for the MAC addresses, that's easy enough because for us, that's here, network admin guys, here's the following MAC addresses. We already have the jack numbers laid out and everything. Here it is. That way, in case it plugs in anywhere else, the active network jacks will go and say, oh, I have to put it on this VLAN instead. Okay, here you go. Bink.
Yeah, and those things to most people, if anybody's listening to this who's in higher ed and AV, what we heard you just say to, is an extreme value add. Like, I can't tell you how many times we finished a room and like, oh, God, we don't have serial numbers. And you gotta, you know, or you know, you get all of the equipment and you want to do the install tomorrow, but now you got to collect all the MAC addresses. You got to get them all on the network. If you get this a week in advance and that stuff arrives and you can just start working, that's a huge boost.
Yeah, it's the time saver. And like I said, for us to have to put it in the contract, surprisingly enough, the integrators, the past integrator we've used for the last two projects, we've gotten along pretty well with them about stuff. And we put it in the contract once and then went, okay. And then the second time, I forgot to put it in, but they did it anyway because they wanted to push very hard to have like repeat business with us.
Yep.
And yeah. I think it's going to be one of those things of start putting it in the contracts kind of thing. You know, for us, like I said, I've been trying to shift us over from being the lowest contract bidder to the lowest qualified bidder. You're right, Scott. It's in the realm of, I think it's as we start to raise our requirements, kind of raise our game or what we expect to be handled, I think to a certain degree, the integrators will kind of raise their stuff and start doing value added because it's no longer like, you know, if we're going to go straight to the box sales, I know a couple of companies that will just straight out decimate the local mom and pops. And we're not even talking like AVI, SPL or anything like that. We're talking, you know, international corps that just all they do are box sales.
Yeah. And, we like to work with local integrators when we can't, even when we're doing our own installs. They do a little bit of value add, you know, similar to what you get. You know, we get the serial numbers. We get all their order information so we can plug it into the A-plus program at Crestron, mm-hmm. and they know we're doing that. And they also work with us on warranties. So we can say, look, we're ordering all this stuff in May, but it's not going to be installed until November. If we promise to keep it in the box, can you work with the manufacturer to start the warranty on November 15th or whatever? And they'll do that. And they also give us a path back for warranty stuff. And that's worth a whole lot to me. I don't have to deal with all that. I don't have to ship things back directly to the manufacturer. I can take it to the integrator. They'll get it back. Mm-hmm. And they charge a little bit more than these international box companies, mm-hmm. but they're local. If I have a problem with it, I can get it taken care of. It's a lot of times it's something they also have in stock for their installs when they're integrating. Mm-hmm. So if we have one fail, I can get an immediate replacement while I'm waiting for the official advanced replacement to get in from the manufacturer. So those are a lot of times little things to the integrator, but they mean a whole lot to us. And we're willing to pay a little bit of a premium, you know, to get that. And then when we do have something that's come across that's high priority, needs to be done right now, and I don't have the manpower to do it in someone's time frame, that's the integrator I'm going to point that department to, because they've worked with us on the box sales side.
Mm-hmm. It's the relationship management.
Right.
The roles of relationship management.
Right. And I've got three or four integrators in the area, mm-hmm. that are more than willing to work with me. Some of the others include their installation price when they're selling it as a box. You know, they don't give very many bids.
Yeah. So, all right, gentlemen, that's about all the time we have for this. Once again, Mr. Ernie Bailey, where can folks find you at?
You can find me on LinkedIn.
All right. Mr. Tyner.
I'm pushing Twitter hard now, so find me at S. Tyner on Twitter.
Fair enough. Mr. Raspberry?
I am on LinkedIn. Also go to drexel.edu and just put in my name, Rob Raspberry. Can't miss me.
Fair enough. I'm Bill O'Dowd. You can find me on Twitter as well as LinkedIn. And once again, this has been EdTech and AV Nation monthly podcast. Once again, this is EdTech.